Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Saturday, October 12th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. Let's dive into our topic. Today's topic is the recent rescue of a dog tied to a fence before Hurricane Milton hit Florida. Let's discuss the key details of this incident.
Man, this case is just heartbreaking. We're talking about a poor pup, now named Trooper, found tied to a fence near I-75 in Tampa. Can you believe it? The little guy was standing in rising floodwater up to his belly. It's a textbook case of animal cruelty, if you ask me.
While it's definitely a tough situation, I think we need to pump the brakes a bit here. We don't know the whole story. For all we know,
are you kidding me? There's absolutely no excuse for abandoning an animal like that. The Florida Highway Patrol found him in a life-threatening situation. Water levels were rising over 8 feet in some areas. That's not just neglect.
But hold on a second. We're talking about a Category 3 hurricane here. People were probably panicking, making split-second decisions. It's easy for us to judge from the outside, but in the heat of the moment...
Let's take a step back. How did Trooper get rescued, and what happened after?
Well, thank goodness for the quick thinking of a trooper who rescued the dog before the hurricane made landfall. They didn't waste any time and brought him straight to a local vet. The good news is Trooper got a clean bill of health despite his ordeal.
That's great for the dog, really it is. But let's put this in perspective. We're making a huge fuss over one dog when 17 people lost their lives in this hurricane. Don't you think our priorities are a bit skewed here?
Hold up, Kate. Every life matters, whether it's human or animal. The Leon County Humane Society stepped up big time, taking in Trooper and placing him in foster care in Tallahassee. It's not about choosing between humans and animals. We can care about both.
I get that every life matters, Eric. I do. But when we're talking about natural disasters, shouldn't human safety be our top priority? Resources are limited, after all.
Interesting points, both of you. Now, what's Trooper's current status, and what does this incident say about pet ownership responsibilities?
Trooper's safe now, but he's not out of the woods yet. The Humane Society says he's pretty stressed and needs time to decompress and feel secure again. Poor little guy's been through the ringer. This whole mess really shines a spotlight on the massive responsibility pet owners have, especially during emergencies.
I agree that pet owners have responsibilities, but come on. We shouldn't be so quick to judge without knowing the full story. We're talking about a hurricane with wind gusts over 100 mph. Maybe the owner thought...
Are you serious right now? That's absolutely absurd. There are always better options than leaving an animal to die. Shelters, friends, evacuating with your pet, literally anything would be better than this kind of cruelty. How can you even suggest...
Now hold on just a minute. Not everyone has access to those options. We need to consider socioeconomic factors here. Not everyone can afford pet-friendly hotels or has a network of friends to rely on. Some people might be facing...
Let's shift gears a bit. Can either of you recall any comparable incidents involving animals during natural disasters?
Oh, absolutely. Hurricane Katrina in 2005 is the perfect example. It was a wake-up call for the whole country. Thousands of pets were left behind when their owners evacuated, leading to massive animal rescue efforts. It was heartbreaking on a much larger scale.
Come on, Eric. Katrina was a disaster on a whole different level. It's not really fair to compare it to Hurricane Milton. We're talking apples and oranges here.
The scale might be different, Kate, but the principle is exactly the same. During Katrina, an estimated 250,000 pets were left behind. Can you imagine? Many died, and others suffered trauma similar to what Trooper is going through now. It's a stark reminder of what happens when we're not prepared.
I'll give you that. But Katrina taught us some valuable lessons. That's why the Pets Act was passed in 2006, requiring states to include pets in their disaster plans. We've made progress since then.
Interesting comparison. How did the Katrina animal rescue efforts compare to what we're seeing with Trooper?
Well, Katrina sparked a much larger response, as you'd expect. Organizations like the ASPCA and Humane Society went all out, deploying hundreds of staff for months on end. With Trooper, we're seeing a more localized effort. It's like comparing a tidal wave to a ripple, but both matter.
Exactly my point. This shows we've actually improved our response to animals in disasters. Trooper was quickly rescued and is now in care. That's progress, whether you want to admit it or not.
But don't you see? The fact that this happened at all shows we haven't learned enough. People are still abandoning animals when danger strikes. It's like we're taking one step forward.
We can't compare one isolated incident to a massive hurricane that affected multiple states. It's not fair, and it doesn't prove your point. We've made real progress since Katrina.
Looking ahead, how do you think this incident with Trooper will unfold? What are potential outcomes?
I've got a strong feeling this case will lead to stricter animal cruelty laws in Florida. Governor DeSantis has already called for the book to be thrown at the person responsible. It's about time we took this seriously.
That's a total overreaction. We should be focusing on education rather than punishment. Maybe this will lead to better disaster preparedness programs that include pet safety. Throwing the book at someone doesn't
Education isn't enough, Kate. We need real consequences to make people think twice. I predict the person responsible will be found and face some serious legal penalties. It's the only way to prevent this
from
happening.
That's assuming they can even find the owner. And what if the owner had a valid reason? We shouldn't jump to conclusions. This isn't some crime drama where everything gets wrapped up neatly with a bow. Real life
Interesting perspectives. How might this incident impact future hurricane preparations in Florida?
I think we'll see a major shift towards pet-inclusive evacuation plans. We might even see requirements for hotels and shelters to accommodate pets during emergencies. It's about time we treated our furry friends as part of the family in crisis situations.
Oh, come on, that's completely unrealistic. Not all shelters can safely house animals. There are health concerns, space issues, you name it. Instead, we might see more community-based solutions, like neighbors helping each other with pet care during evacuations. That's more practical and doable.
Community solutions are great, but they're not enough. We need systemic changes. I predict Florida will implement a statewide pet emergency response system. It's the only way to ensure we don't have more troopers left
behind. That's excessive, and you know it. We should focus on human safety first. Maybe we'll see more public education campaigns about pet safety during hurricanes instead. That's a more balanced approach that doesn't
strain. Why not both? We can prioritize human safety while also ensuring pets are protected. It's not an either-or situation. We have the resources and the know-how to do both.
Resources are limited, Eric. We need to be practical about where we allocate funds and efforts during disaster preparedness. You can't just wave a magic wand and make unlimited resources appear.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. It's clear this is a complex issue with no easy answers. Thanks to Eric and Kate for their insights, and to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Until next time, this is Ted signing off.